Hello, let's do it again. It's time for As It Is, the program that helps you learn and improve your American English. I'm Jim Tedder in Washington. Today, we have a very interesting story for you. We will talk about emergencies and what happens when language and understanding become a problem. If you listen carefully, you may understand how important it is to communicate well. If an emergency is involved, what you say and how you say it may even save a life. Are you ready? Let's get started with today's program. In most countries, people can make a telephone call to ask for medical or police help using just three numbers. In the European Union, the number is 112. Some Asian countries use 999. In North America, the number is 911. Wherever you are in the world, when you call for help, you do not want the person answering to say, "I don't understand you." In the United States, most of the workers who answer calls for emergency help speak just one language, English. But many people in the United States and people coming here from other countries do not speak English. So VOA went to a center where requests for help are received to find out what happens when the person calling speaks a language that emergency workers do not understand. We are about to hear a request for help. The phone call was answered by a worker in the Willamette Valley 911 Center in Salem, Oregon, in the northwestern United States. But it could have been almost anywhere in America. In most urban areas, workers receive requests for emergency help every day in a language other than English.
911.
Bueno, es para mí.
So, do you have an emergency?
Lo que pasa.
Do you have an emergency?
Sí.
Wait just a moment.
Now, the worker will call someone at an agency that employs people who speak the caller's language. Every 911 center in the northwestern United States works with such agencies, called Emergency Translation Services.
Thank you for calling. What language?
Spanish.
Thanks for your operator number. One moment, please.
Thank you. Your call may be monitored or recorded.
On this call, it takes almost 1 minute for a translator to be connected to the person calling for help. Andrea Tobin is a training manager at the emergency center and a longtime worker there. She says the wait can be difficult for both the emergency workers and the person who needs help.
We get pretty tense, especially if we know it's a medical call or this person that is in obvious distress. When it's Spanish, it's pretty quick and easy for us to understand. When it's a different dialect, it becomes more complicated for us because we don't recognize them all. And then they put us on hold while they get an interpreter that is the language that we need. And that can sometimes be very quick. Sometimes it's 30 seconds or a minute.
The most common language needing translation is Spanish. Others include Russian, Vietnamese, and Chinese. Some managers of emergency call centers in urban areas of the northwestern United States say they are experiencing an increase in requests for help from people speaking languages heard in African and Middle Eastern countries. Translation companies like Telelanguage and Language Line say they can help people in 200 languages. Mark Buchholz is the director of the Willamette Valley 911 Center. He says using these services is less costly than employing workers who speak more than one language. Only three of his 55 workers speak more than one language. Two of them speak English and Spanish. A third speaks English and Russian. Mr. Buchholz says centers like his try to employ people who speak more than one language, but he says it is not easy to find these workers.
It's really tough to require a second language as a requirement to work for us. While it's important, we do pay a bonus. The volume isn't significant enough for us to have that an exclusive requirement for hiring.
A man has called the Salem, Oregon 911 Center for help. He is speaking in Spanish. He says two men in a car are chasing him. The interpreter is listening to the man, then talking to the emergency worker, who will send police to help the man once they know where he is.
En la esquina de Lee Street y One Way.
Uh-huh.
I'm standing right on the corner of One Way and Lee Street.
We don't have One Way.
It took the three people another minute to find out that the man was on the corner of Lee and 12th Street. Lee Street is a one-way street. Cars are only permitted to drive on the street in one direction. The caller thought that was the name of the street. Interpreters who join calls like this may be in another state. The companies that employ them tell the workers they can do the work from their home. These companies also help business call centers, banks, schools, and courts. In the emergency we just heard, the police were able to quickly help the man who called. Several managers of emergency call centers say it is important to be able to say the name of your country and your language in the language of the country you are visiting or living in. That may save you important time. Speaking of time, it's time for us to talk about today in history. It was on this date in 1873 that Lee DeForest was born. He was an American inventor. He invented a special knife used in medical operations. He also made a photoelectric cell, a device that made electricity move through wires when the cell had light shined on it. But perhaps Mr. DeForest is best known for his invention of the electron tube. That's why he is often called the father of radio. After radio came television, and it was on this date, 75 years ago, that the first baseball game was put on television in New York City. The Cincinnati Reds and the Brooklyn Dodgers played in that game. VOA's Christopher Cruz was there. Just kidding. He's not really that old. On this date in 1883, the world went boom. That was the day a volcano in Indonesia called Krakatoa erupted. It was so powerful an explosion that people heard it 3,000 miles away. 36,000 people were killed. The ash from the explosion circled the earth and changed the oceans and the weather for years. People who study the American Civil War realize that on this date in 1862, an important battle took place not far from Washington. It was known as the Second Battle of Bull Run. It is named for a small stream that runs near the town of Manassas in Virginia. On anniversaries like these, you can usually find people dressed in old costumes living and cooking in camps near the battlefield, just as the soldiers did so long ago. Sometimes they even pretend they are shooting guns at each other, like the Northern and Southern armies did. Well, that's about all the time we have for today's As It Is program. Remember, we are here 7 days a week to help you learn and improve your American English. If you are just listening on the radio, you are missing half the fun. We suggest you find a computer and copy the words and audio for each day's program. That way, you can listen and read along again and again whenever you have the time. It's a great way to learn how to speak just like an American, if that is what you would like to do. Thank you for joining us today. I'm Jim Tedder in Washington.